Before we start, I have a confession to make. I am just about all preached out. I'm really, really tired, and my throat's starting to get sore. I almost feel like I've been at camp doing the spiritual program for a week. But anyhow, we have one more session that we have to go through. And this last one that we're going to look at, I think, well, for myself, in thinking about and planning and looking through and doing some research in these different topics, different areas that we've been looking at, I've found some exciting things. But this last passage or passages, this last thought that we're going to have, really exciting things. Really, really exciting things in here. We had read to us the first 8 verses of the book of Revelation. We have looked at Jesus in creation. We have looked at Jesus in the law. We've looked at him in the prophets. We have seen him in the gospels. We have seen him in the church. And finally this evening, we are going to see him in the book of the Revelation. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you for this evening and this opportunity again to be with your people, to look into your word. And I pray that you would continue to touch our hearts as we do so, that you would help us to see Jesus, and that as Zacchaeus' life was changed when he saw you, I pray that our lives too will continue to be changed as we gaze on Jesus. I thank you and praise you for him. In his name, amen. I've mentioned through this weekend quite a few different references to things in creation. I was talking this afternoon with somebody about we were talking about a type of a beetle, and it was something else about creation. Well, I had the privilege of, it wasn't really a privilege, of driving back. I took Shirley and the 3 boys home after playing that brutal hockey game. I'm glad I wasn't able to stay now. When I feel how sore I am, I'm glad I wasn't able to stay to the bitter end. But I took them home, dropped them off, and then when I started to head back this way, Jupiter is well up in the sky already. And Jupiter comes up in the east like everything else does, and I was driving towards Jupiter almost the whole way here, and I kept looking up there, and it reminded me of some other beautiful things that I've seen up in the sky. Doesn't matter how many times I've seen some of these things, I keep looking up at them. I had the privilege a couple weeks ago of going over to this friend's house, this guy who you might think he's at least as weird as I am. That's probably why we get along so well. And he said, "Oh, look, Saturn's up. Get my telescope out." And he got it out and he set it up for me. And 38 and just about 39-year-old man, for the first time in his life, after so many years of wanting to do this, I saw the rings of Saturn with my own eyes. I saw the rings of Saturn, and I thought, wow, this is just so incredible. It just was such an incredible experience for me to see this planet that's way, way out in space, and to be able to look into that telescope and to be able to see it. And I wanted to stand there and look at it, and look at it. Shirley, of course, was just as excited as I was. Do you want to look at it? No. Do you want to hear about it? No. A few years back, there was a planet that cruised through our neighborhood. Anybody remember it? No? About 4 years ago, maybe. Hale-Bopp. Anybody remember that planet? Oh, my. We're driving along. We were going down to Windsor for about a week, kind of a vacation thing. And we left really, really early in the morning. And it was in the sky. We were going until we got to Sudbury, at least. We were going east. And it was right up here. And I'm telling you, it was hard for me to stay on the highway because I kept looking at it. I'm driving along, and of course we had the whole highway to ourselves, and I'm driving along, and I'm looking at this thing, and looking at it. Finally, Shirley says, "What do you expect it to do? What do you think is going to happen?" Because it had looked the same day or night after night after night, and I was out there, and I was looking at it, and I'd go and stand in the backyard. And the first time I saw it, what happened, Danielle? Do you remember? The first time when I spotted it, I was in the house and I was trying to get everybody to come out there because there was this beautiful object up in the sky. This awe-inspiring object. And I wanted everybody to come and see it. There wasn't a stampede in the Lawrence house that night. And I would be out there night after night looking at it. And I would try to climatize my binoculars. I don't have a telescope. And I try to get my binoculars because this was in the winter. And what happens when you take nice warm binoculars outside, put them up to your eyes, and they fog up and you can't see anything. Or if you leave them outside and they're cold and you put them up to your eyes, they fog up and you can't see anything. So I was trying to find this place where I could go out there and I would stand there and I would look at this. Night after night, hour after hour driving down the highway, I would look at this incredible object coming through our neighborhood in the solar system. Beautiful. When I look into the book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ, I find something, someone who is so much more inspiring than anything else that I've ever seen. Anything else that I've ever looked at. Anything else that I've ever dreamt of seeing. When I look in the book of the Revelation, I see Jesus Christ. I see Him revealed, not just His signature in creation, not just the pictures foreshadowed through the law, not just the often cryptic images of Him portrayed in the prophets, not just the man, the God as man here on earth. Not just Jesus Christ working through the church and alive in the church. But I see Jesus Christ in glory. Back in His natural setting. Back in heaven. And in His full glory. And what an incredible, incredible image that is. We see in the book of the Revelation Jesus being described. We see Jesus Himself speaking to you and I. For the next few minutes at least, I'm going to read from the book of Revelation. And I've gone through and I've highlighted these different passages. If I've missed some, please forgive me. I would like you, and especially I forgot this announcement earlier today when the youth conference is still here, that I was supposed to give everybody some homework because I knew that most of them were going to be gone before they got to this last part. And I wanted to challenge each one to read through the book of the Revelation on their own. Read through it very carefully and prayerfully with your eyes open to see Jesus. With that desire, we would see Jesus. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 5, from Jesus, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto Him that loved us, and washed us from our sins in His own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and His Father, to Him be glory and dominion for ever and ever. Amen. Behold, He cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see Him, and they also which pierced Him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of Him. Even so, amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. Verse 11, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. I'm not sure when I'm reading, I've been wrestling with this for the last little while, whether or not to ask you to try to follow along, or to ask you whether to just listen while I read, because I hate to throw in the chapter and verse references, because it kind of breaks up a bit of the flow of seeing Jesus. If you want to try to follow along, you can do so. If you want to just listen, that's fine. These things saith He that holdeth the seven stars in His right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. He which has the sharp sword with two edges, the Son of God, who has his eyes like unto a flame of fire and his feet like fine brass, that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. He that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the keys of the key of David, he that openeth, and no man shutteth, and shutteth, and no man openeth. The Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. John says, after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and I beheld a throne, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne, in sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And behold, and before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne, and round about the throne, were 4 beasts, full of eyes, before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf, and the third beast had a face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the 4 beasts had each of them 6 wings about him, and they were full of eyes within. And they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was, and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within, and on the backside sealed with 7 seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders said unto me, Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the 4 beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having 7 horns and 7 eyes, which are the 7 spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the 4 beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts, and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power, and riches, and wisdom, and strength, and honor, and glory, and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven, and on the earth, and under the sea, under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, Blessing, and honor, and glory, and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb for ever and ever. And the 4 beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth
forever and ever. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. And she brought forth a man-child, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Sion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written in their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. And they sung as it were a new song before the throne, and before the four beasts and the elders. And no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. And after these things I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. Alleluia. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in them, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things saith, Surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you again for your Son, Jesus Christ, and I thank you for these words which we have just read, which we have thought about. These things which so clearly and so vividly and so beautifully portray your Son, Jesus Christ, your Son in all his glory, your Son in his power and might, your Son in the position that he and he alone deserves for all eternity. Amen.
I don't know about you, but I can't wait to see him. I can't wait for that day when I can be face to face with Jesus Christ. I've tried over the years to imagine what that's going to be like. When we read through the scriptures, we see people who came face to face with the presence, the power of God through Jesus Christ. There were times when people fell down on the ground and they couldn't stand there in his presence. Even when he was a tiny little baby, and the shepherds came, and as he grew up and he wasn't yet 2 years old and the wise men came, what did they do? They came and they worshipped him, didn't they? They came and they worshipped him. And when I picture worship, and as we read in Revelation 4 and 5, when we see worship happening in heaven, they were falling down before him. These shepherds before this baby, these wise men before this baby, bowed down before him. Because they knew, something told them, you don't just stand here in front of this one. You bow down in front of him. You worship this one who is so important, this one who is named Jesus. It must have been such an incredible, incredible experience for Peter and James and John to be taken up into the mountain with Jesus one day. They didn't know what was going to happen, did they? They didn't know Jesus would go off on his own to pray sometimes, and sometimes he'd take a few of the disciples with him. Sometimes he'd go off alone. Sometimes the group would be with him. This one day he took them up into the mountain and something happened. Something incredible happened. And Jesus was transfigured before them. And his clothing became white and shining and bright. Imagine standing there, those guys on the mountain. When I picture something that white, that bright, I remember back in my old high school days, and I used to love this part in science class when we got to burn magnesium. Isn't magnesium incredible? I have a roll of it at home that I bought at a yard sale. Somebody probably stole it from school. I don't know. I didn't question how it got there, but I found it, and as soon as I saw it, I said, that's magnesium. And every once in a while, I'll go down in my basement, and I'll take a little strip of this stuff, and I'll burn it. And the light from that is so absolutely white and intense. It's incredible. Picture these men up on this mountain, and Jesus is turned right in front of their eyes. He starts to glow like that. He starts to glow with this incredible brightness, something that they had never, ever, ever seen. Brighter than anything that we could ever imagine. Jesus was, in a sense, pulling back the curtain and giving them just a little glimpse of who he really was, of who he was going what he was going to appear as for the rest of eternity. He'd give them a little peek of that, and this brightness shone out so incredibly bright. They worshipped. They were impressed, weren't they? Their response wasn't exactly what it should be, but they were impressed. They were overwhelmed when they saw Jesus, when they saw him for who he was. I would imagine in spite of all of the hardships that John had been through, in spite of all of the trials and all of the terrible things that he had suffered, and in spite of the fact that he was exiled to this island, he was there and there wasn't too much else going on there. I would imagine from the point of seeing this vision of Jesus Christ revealing these things to him, I can imagine that John shone himself even brighter than he ever had. And I would imagine he had such a glowing smile on his face for the rest of his life. I don't know how much long he lived, but imagine. He had seen a glimpse up into heaven. He had seen Jesus Christ on his throne. And the wonder of what he saw was almost overwhelming. And the way that John describes things, he had to try to take, even through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, John had to try to take what he saw, things that were beyond words, things that were beyond description, and he had to try to sit down and write these things down. And I can't help but picture this kind of a rickety old man on this island, and sitting there, and as he starts to write these things, and I can see him just having to stop and put the pen down and look up, and then, oh, if I could just have another peek, if I could just have another look. And as he read those words, and as he felt the power of the things that he had seen, as he felt the power of Jesus Christ in all of his glory, I can just picture him just closing his eyes every once in a while and looking up and just bursting out into song and bursting and just a smile just exploding off his face. And imagine when he finally stepped into that place and saw Jesus Christ. And he's right there now. John is there now. And I can imagine him thinking, oh my, the things that I wrote, I know the Holy Spirit inspired them, but they come up so short of what's really here, of what's really going on here. And I can see John, you know, maybe thinking, if I would have had 1,000 years, maybe I could have done justice to what's up here. Maybe I could have done justice to who is up here. Who is up here? Years and years and years before in John's life, he had a desire, didn't he? He wanted to see Jesus. And he saw him. And he walked on this earth with him. And he saw this glimpse into heaven and Jesus on his throne and Jesus returning in power and majesty and glory. And now John is there eternally in the presence of Jesus Christ. And John never, ever, ever has to ask again, I wish to see Jesus. Because Jesus is there. Jesus is there. And he is shining eternally, powerfully, brighter than anything we can imagine in that place. And as I said, I can't wait to get there. I can't wait to be there. There are so many times when I think, oh, this could be the day. This could be the day. Jesus could come back today. And then I'll think at the end of the day, didn't happen. Didn't happen. One of the things that you see when you look up all the time, you see the clouds parting. And you see the sun shining a ray of light down through the clouds, down into this earth. And I think, this is it. This could be it. This is it. This maybe that's not the sun shining. Maybe that's the glory of Jesus. Maybe that door in heaven is opening up. And it hasn't happened yet. And even dying will be worthwhile. To be there, to see him. I don't want to die. I hope that I hear that shout from heaven and that we're all going to go together at the same time.
But I don't know what God has planned. I don't know what He has in store. And maybe, just maybe, as God determined with so many thousands before, maybe He's decided, maybe He's determined that I'm to go through death. And I don't like that thought. And I can understand what Paul is talking about when he says, I have this desire to depart, but yet I'm needful here. Because I think about my wife and my children, and I think, I don't want to die and leave them behind. But you know, that thought doesn't last very long. Because I know they'll be provided for. And I know I will be in such a beautiful place with such a beautiful person that in spite of all of the hurt that they're going to feel, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay because I have stood with others who have lost someone near and dear to them. And I have hugged and been hugged by those who have lost someone. And in spite of the tears that are there, there is a joy that is so incredible. There is a calm assurance that is so incredible. They know that that person isn't looking at this world anymore. Isn't looking at the darkness in this world anymore. Isn't trapped in this terrible, wicked, sinful place anymore. They're in that place where Jesus Christ is shining brightly. I can't wait. I can't wait. But I have to. You know why? I have to because for right now, there are still things that need to be done, aren't there? There are things that need to be done right here, right at home. It's like the times when Shirley has gone out for the day to do something, and I have to be in charge of the home. I can cook. I can out-cook just about anybody that comes along. And I can sweep the floor okay. But there's some other jobs around the house that I just don't do all that well. And I would put them off. And I would wait. And there have been times, and I know, I'm looking at my watch and thinking, she's coming back. She's coming pretty soon. And I got to get the dishes done and the floor swept and at least get the laundry taken down to the laundry room. And I've got all of these things that have to be done before she gets back. Not that she's some terrible tyrant. She's going to come in the house and I'm going to be sorry because I didn't have my job done. No, I want to get those things done because I love her. And I want things to be nice and neat and clean and tidy and look presentable. I want to be ready when she gets back there. And I know in so much more, so much greater of a way, I know that there's work that I need to do in my own life. There's things that need to be tidied up in my life. Things that need to be straightened around in my life. And part of thinking about, oh, I can't wait. I wish it was now. I wish he would come back right now. And then I think, but, you know, there's some problems. There's some areas that need some work, some areas that need some help. And as I look at the church, I see that there are places, that there are areas, that there are things, there are issues that need to be straightened around a little bit, need to be tidied up, need to be taken care of. And then if I'm at home and I'm thinking something like this, I look across the street and I see a house with a family. And all but one of them, as far as I know, are destined to hell. And I see a house next door to that. And I see, as far as I know, all of them destined to hell. And I see the house down at the end of the street. And I see the house next door. And as far as I know, they're all destined to hell. Why hasn't He taken me? Why hasn't He taken me through death? Why hasn't He come back and returned? Because there's work to be done yet. There's work to be done yet. And what a joy it is. What a thrill it is. What a privilege it is to be working here. to be serving Him here in these what have to be the last days of this age. And we're here, and we're working here, and we are seeing people come to Jesus Christ, and we are seeing people having their lives completely, completely changed from the inside out because of Jesus Christ. And we are seeing the church growing, and growing, not only expanding in numbers, but growing in their likeness of Jesus Christ. We live in exciting times. We live in an exciting, exciting day and age. And what better thing for us in this day and age to be working, to be busy, when we hear that sound, that shout from heaven, calling us to be with Him. Imagine. Imagine being able to let go of that broom that we've been using here, and let go of that sword that we've been using here, and let go of whatever we've been doing here. And to be able to let go of those things, and knowing that there will be no shame when we're in His presence. What a thrill. Why? Because when we say we would see Jesus, we know who He is. We know what a wonderful person He is. We know what an awesome God He is. I'd like us to, as we think about this, and before we close in prayer, I'd like us to sing two songs. Number 55, Oh How I Love Jesus, and number 111. And I'd like us to stand and sing these two songs. And as we sing them, and as we think about who Jesus is, think about that desire that should be in our hearts, that desire that should be overflowing in our lives to see Jesus, because we love Him. Because, hallelujah, what a Savior. Let's stand and sing these two songs. We can't help but echo the words of the songwriter, the words that are spoken in the book of Revelation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, what a Savior. We thank You and praise You again for Him this evening. We thank You that He is so incredibly wonderful. And we long to be with Him. We long to be with Him and in His presence forever. And yet in that longing, in that desire, we know that there is work to be done here. I pray that You would help us in this work, that You would help us to be faithful to Him in all things. Help us to always be looking towards Him. In Jesus' name, amen.